All right, so go ahead and continue, man.
That's some wild music you got there, too. I like it. All right, and so like I was saying, they recruit in the colleges, and of course they want them to be educated and still pretty easily manipulated or moldable, just like you and I when we go in military at 17, 18, you know. Yeah. You're recruited, and he was in the church, but then he went to Israel in a kibbutz. Did you read about that?
Who are we talking about? Warmbier?
Warmbier. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and so he goes to Israel, so he's in the church, but then he goes to an Israeli kibbutz. Then he goes on this field trip, but what would you call it, tour of North Korea? And he stays in this hotel where you know it's going to be bugged, and if they can intercept his communications on the phone, what have you, I'm sure they can. And I think he was outed as he was trying to steal that poster. It's kind of like a test operation to move up the ladder. You know what I mean? It's like a field test.
Yeah.
And then he explodes his guts, you know, and then he comes back. And like I said, I was a paramedic. And so the whole thing, they're dragging him off the airplane by his arms and his legs with an oxygen mask on him. And, you know, if he was already invalid, not able to be ambulatory, why was he on a stretcher? Where was the EMS people up there? You know, they drag him off the airplane like that, and then oh, he's dead. You know, you follow what I'm going?
yeah. I mean, the whole thing,
weird. Up, you know.
Yeah. We're right. The thing is, the timing too. Right when the tensions with North Korea are at fever pitch, and you know they're going to be part of this next mm-hmm. big conflict, and so the timing's really, let's just say, it pricks my spidey sense it basically makes the North Koreans look like these evil blah blah blahs, uh-huh. even worse. Right when Trump ratchets up the tension with them, then all of a sudden this guy comes out of their gulags and dies on us.
Yeah, yeah. If he was done it over there, you know, and he just croaked this, you know, I don't want to be too. I get this gallows type of talk. You know, going back to my EMS days, kind of like a defensive, defensive thing. Okay, so apologies to anybody who's offended. But he expires, you know, 1 or 2 days afterwards, and then where's the autopsy? If it was, you know, if it was from torture, from being waterboarded or drugs, they would come out with that. That would be great PR value against North Korea.
Yeah.
But like, oh, now he's died. Now he's dead, and we're gonna have the funeral, and everyone, you know.
Yeah, but it's still
come home, you know. It just
yeah, but it's still garners it still garners that negative taste in the mouth for the normal American, you know, TV watcher. That mm-hmm. But look, the left, Huffington Post, and the rest of them. I'm gonna play a clip a little later if I can. They're like. Oh, it was his white privilege. He thought that he could steal a poster from North Korea because he was a white privileged frat boy. And they all think it's funny that the North Koreans, did what they did to him because he was white. I mean, so, I mean, we got a lot of...
That's... Yeah, go ahead.
But, that's how mentally ill a certain portion of our country is. Oh, it was his white privilege. He thought that he could steal a poster and break the law. When, you know, here, you know, a guy gets shot, and you think you can basically loot and burn down towns.
Yeah, reaching in the damn crotch, and the guy's telling them, don't reach, you know.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think the loony left is going to self-destruct shortly. I already see signs of it, though, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people are having this kind of deep thing in their gut that's telling them they've got something bad planned for us, and you know they're projecting our population to drop dramatically, and you see all these things happening, and you're like, which one of these things is going to be, I've got weird feelings about our very near future, and I guess you do as well.
Yes, I do. All right, good talking to you.
All right, you too, man. Let's take Jeff in Idaho. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Robert, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Robert, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's terrible to hear Joyce has passed away. She's a great individual, and I basically found your Beyond Treason DVD just a couple days ago because I was I'm packing for moving some stuff, and you know, so it was pretty strange hearing that tonight. So
I was just watching a video today with her in it. It was called Shadow Ring that was written by James Perloff. So then I get the call. I'm like, right. Oh wow.
Yeah, James is one of the top experts. You know, there's a around the world. You know, when you look at the research on this stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I'm sure it's a pretty good movie from the sounds of it. Hey, here's, I think, what's really going on when you look at the details. You know, if you go back to 1666 with the Donma, essentially this personhood thing in England, you know, how the banking from, India that John Coleman has discussed, how it started the central banks in Europe, you know, how the ripoff of the empire system came in place. Well, so let's fast forward all these times, you know, where the, where we got the banking empire starting the wars and going after the natural resources. So what's going on in Syria right now is the straw and the Golan Heights, where the drugs are and the water and the oil are the real objective of Israel right now. And they're going to basically try and start a mini neutron war in Syria. But the problem with it is the Canary Islands are perched with a slip fault that, if it goes down, and this is the warning that Putin has, I think, put out, you know, on the table for seismic weaponry, all right, is that the Canaries might go down and the whole East Coast be devastated by a, traumatic thing. And then you see multiple cascading problems. Now, anyone in the world could do that if they want. China, anyone with weapons technology like that. And then, it'd be hard to trace, who's kind of doing this work. But China's basically involved in this project that Deanna Smangola talked about, how there's $5 trillion in the Dead Sea, because every time the Earth rotates, when one of these galactic events occurs, there's a curve shape in the Gulf of Mexico that points basically back to the center of the Milky Way. So the Earth rotates, and the safest place is, where the Mediterranean, the Caspian, and the Black Sea. Now, when you're talking about Astana there, I mean, if you look at essentially where Kazakhstan is, it's essentially the furthest away from most of the big waves whenever the Earth rotates. So 20,000 years ago, the Great Lakes didn't exist because they were at the North Pole, right? And the Earth rotated that far 20,000 years ago to create the Great Lakes, and then that's how we got all the water in the big aquifer, in the Midwest, basically from 5 miles worth of ice melting, in very, very fast times, creating Lake Bonneville and things. So the Chinese are basically going into this deal where they're going to basically work on this red water project, okay? And what it is it's a thing of Israel, Jordan, and Palestine. And what we see going on is, the Israelis sold the secrets to China and then basically gave the targeting for Russia? You know, Israel basically for 100 years has been targeting how to basically have Albert Pike's wars basically finish off all these powers, and then when the next real devastating Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome problem comes around, the Middle East is the thing that survives. North America and South America, because the way the rotations of these things are usually toast. So they're always repopulated, by these, cataclysmic activities like the ones James McKinney talks about. So Astana, I think, is what they're looking for as their little home spaceport, and that's why they built it the way they have, all the Masonic symbols and these other items. So what we get into is Syria is essentially the you've got all these treasonous guys that are basically Israeli firsters, and the Mossad are basically going to get us into nuclear war. And the Qatar deal is essentially they were going to host the BRICS thing in 2017. So these guys isolated Qatar because they're sitting on the biggest natural gas development that Iran and Qatar share. Now, in the 90s, when Kuwait was horizontally drilling into Saddam Hussein's area, the deal was, and this is what Sherman Skolnick figured out in a Chicago case, is that George Bush, Saddam Hussein, and the Queen of England had an account where they were skimming 10% off the profits to make Saddam look like a evil dictator. So as extortion money, any of the oil that went through the Gulf, 10% went off the top to those three people. So this is how we've got this narcocracy going on, and this looks like the same strategy that they're applying to Qatar and Iran to basically get Iran out of the BRICS sphere and get Qatar from leaving like the sphere that they're in and going to the BRICS things. So those are the real things that you got to look out for. And, you know, the stuff going on in Syria and the stuff going on in Ukraine right now, they're, you know, this one guy, Texas Bentley was on another radio show, and he said basically they've got the 179th there in Ukraine training artillery guys to shell citizens, and they're basically creating war crimes. So the hot spots that they're going to try and torch World War III look like, because if you look at the Khazar Empire from 1,400 years ago,
yep,
you see all the destruction going on right now. You basically see all the Caucasus Mountains, well, the Christians were basically run to, and all these other things. They're destroying essentially the old Khazar Empire. Anyone that was in the Khazar Empire that's now in that area is Pipelanistan. And so you see all this geopolitical stuff going on, and it's all in the underbelly of Russia, you know, all in the Caspian, and all these other areas. So that's essentially the real deal going on with your connection to Astana. And if you look at L. Ron Hubbard, you know, psychologically, what's going on? They wrote the book Dune to be this Albert Pike World War III, where the desert people would basically go out and get the other people around, you know, the globe, i.e. the universe, and then the trade unionists were the guys that are like the syndicalist globalist right now. So Dune is a very psychological warfare thing of what's going on right now. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, Hubbard wrote probably more science fiction, I think, than any writer out
there.
Yeah,
I mean, Battlefield Earth was gigantic and thick, you know. So yeah, and believe it or not, that essentially is like from the Book of Enoch, where they were basically looking for iridium, gold, and these other items for life extension and a couple other things. So yeah, I mean, it's not far fetched some of the stuff. And but the CIA got rid of them. All the CIA right now are all criminal, treasonous, you know, individuals. And, you know, they got rid of L. Ron Hubbard on his little drowning incident to basically get his mind control patents. You know that?
Yeah, well, this David Miscavige, the guy running the church now, is something else, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, well, the same joke could be applied to L. Ron Hubbard. What type of wood doesn't float? Natalie, right. Yeah. Yeah, that's another issue with some deep insiders. So you got all these people, the skull and bones people, all the bankers, all these other people that are interconnected, and you know, Steve Curry in Colorado has got this great stuff. You know, and 2 years ago he said it appears we're coming to some sort of a revolution within the ranks. We are learning that the U.S. Marshals, or at least 70% of them, that have had it with the corruption and fraud at both the state and federal levels, while 30% of them want to continue taking bribes to look the other way when it comes to arresting corrupt public officials. This is definitely the case in Denver and other districts as well. So you're getting a lot of things go on, and this ties in with some of Anna's work, and you see the Anna basically did some stuff with Puerto Rico, and now they're basically trying to, you know, use Puerto Rico as this one model. Well, if they push the model that that Puerto Rico's doing, you can do the same thing for exiting D.C., which is the big strategy. Get 330 million people out of the District of Columbia jurisdiction. Something like that Sojourner would do if he was apt to apply his talents. So those are the real items, I think, that we got really going on this week. And, you know, you just got to basically keep Israel basically has all these neutron weapons. And so there's going to be a neutron weapon go off somewhere in Assad's palace, okay? And that's going to be the end of Assad and the beginning of World War III, because the Russians are not going to leave Syria right now. Okay? And the Israelis know that. And so what they're doing is, while you've got the Hajj going on, and you've got this other stuff, Israel's basically doing as much damage as they can, and they're building all those new Palestinian properties on the West Bank, you know?
Yeah,
there's going to be a point where the damage is going to be way, the BDS thing with Israel, they're putting themselves in the same position that it put Germany in 1933, where everyone in the world is going to basically go against them because of their, you know, their tactics.
Well, I know the left has turned against them already. Now, I don't know, you know, the Christian right in the United States, I don't know if they'll ever... I think that they'll
never figure it out.
Right. Yeah. So
yeah, they're all compromised. And but the thing about it is there is a serious issue with the rotation of the Earth, and why Kazakhstan is like the center of power for the planet. You know, look at the depths of the coastlines that go across the Africa, Europe, and Asia, all right? And imagine the biblical 5,000-foot tidal waves, all right? Well, I don't know where Astana is in Kazakhstan, but I bet you it's about the center of between all those major deep water locations like the Indian Ocean. The Arctic Ocean isn't very deep, you know? So that's essentially, I think, they know that there's problems coming, right? And that's essentially their bailout plan. That's why Denver is basically the new government location when the coastline at D.C. gets washed away.
Yeah, it's interesting to see these cities be built up into new, I guess, centers of power is what you would call it.
Right. Yeah, Israel's basically trying to ride the coattails of China right now because the Rothschilds moved over there in 2008, stole all the gold, and they converted 700 tons of gold to 750,000 tons of gold and converted it to $23 trillion. And this is what the Bezos guys and all these other people that we talked about earlier are using that cash flow to buy things right now without people knowing that this massive fraud went on of gold commodity conversions. This is the same thing they did when the Bushes basically had $240 billion that was coming due on September 11th, right? How they bought out Russia. And this is the thing Putin's aware of. So these guys can't run very much further, so they actually really have to start World War III to basically cover up all their tracks. Because it's like, this is the end of GoldenEye, where at the end of the movie, you know, Pierce Brosnan says, you know, you're really nothing but a petty criminal. Yeah, $600 billion? Yeah, I'm a petty criminal. That's what all this is about. It's all fraud, fakery, and citizenship issues. And how do you basically not let the people get out of world citizenship? And how do you basically get rid of that billion or 2 billion people that they're looking for right now with this insensor, I think it's ID4D, that the programs that are trying to ID all these people? So those are all the criminals that you got to hang with hemp rope at this point.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I think the large swaths of basically the entire planet are totally asleep at the wheel. So I think we're at the mercy of these evil controllers. And I just don't know. Maybe I'm compartmentalized.
Yeah.
And I look around.
Well, I think there's more people aware outside the country than inside. And that's the important thing. Cause, 9/11, they brought in, Homeland Security to essentially lock down the borders, all right? So none of the taxpayers could leave the country, all right? And they were going to basically then just drive it into bankruptcy and then basically grab all the assets. That's what they're trying to do right now. The only person I can see that's really having some, effect is Anna in her work at a large level. And that's actually, that's actually stuff that's moving forward, I think, in a good way. So I'll let you go, Robert. Thanks for the time. And, yeah, sorry to hear about losing Joyce and Ken. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. See you. So yeah, folks, this is my board operator's last night tonight with RBN. So everybody, say goodbye to Ken. Maybe him and I'll collaborate on something very soon. We don't know yet. We're talking about something. So see you guys on the other side of the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Catholic bishop excommunicates all homosexuals and his diocese orders all priests under him to withhold the sacraments unless they repent. In light of the relentless onslaught on Christian morality from the LGBTIQAA to Z, Catholic Bishop Thomas Paprocki of the Springfield, Illinois diocese has taken public stand against them, simply repeating Catholic doctrine has been taught since the earliest days of the church. He ordered all priests in his diocese to withhold all sacraments from anybody who is a practicing homosexual or a supporter of the LGBT agenda while claiming to be Catholic until they repent of their sins. Quite interesting. Let's see. We've got Timothy in Washington. Greetings, sir.
Yeah, Robert, you always got a great show. And before I make my main point, which is pretty much taboo on RBN, but I've got to respond to your last caller, Jeff. But before I make that point, I am sorry about Joyce Riley. She was one in a million. And, you know, her glory is that she died in battle. And for somebody like me who's basically getting ready to retire, I can't tell you what that's worth. I mean, when I look at my retirement with my... all the chickens gathered around me and a couple of dogs, and you know they look at me like a god with a small g, and I you know tell them I used to be somebody, so it's a horrible way to go, but Joyce, she died in battle, so she's got her special glory, so God bless her. And also with Ken, and any of those 30-something IT guys, those guys are worth their weight in gold, because there are all kinds of guys that are got all kinds of knowledge that are in their late 40s, 50s, and 60s. Literally, with a small g, they're gods of political and economic knowledge. But we don't know how to mess with the computers. And these guys like Ken, they're the only ones that can bring us in this world. So these guys like Ken are going to realize they're worth their weight in gold when they realize they got dozens of guys that got all this knowledge but just can't tap into Twitter and Twitter and you know all the rest of the stuff. But this is my main point, Robert, and it's going to get you in trouble. So I don't, if you cut me off, that's okay. But you know, Jeff has to wake up, and this is taboo on RBN. But the fact of the matter is, and it's the big elephant in the room, it's the thing that actually is driving everything. And people don't want to admit it, but there is no curvature on the Earth. Nobody can find it. The stars never move. You look up, they're going to be the same stars. The pole star is always there. The Earth is stable and flat, exactly how the Bible lays it out. And there's a mountain of evidence, literally a mountain of evidence for a flat Earth. And there's nothing on the globe Earth side, not even a real picture of Earth hanging in space. And so when Jeff, he's in this matrix, he thinks that, you know, they can drop the Canary Islands and the Earth rotating, and all he needs to do is spend 6-8 hours, honestly, clicking some buttons, going, researching flat Earth, go to Mark Sargent, Eric Dubay, Rob Skiba. There's dozens of guys. They've picked it apart. They've thrown balloons up 130,000 feet, no curvature. You even can see the sun, burning right on top of the clouds. I mean, there's so many guys are taking levels on planes now. The planes never compensate for the curvature of the Earth. They're taking compasses. People are taking shots of land 275 miles away, which is not possible. I mean, it's literally just being ripped apart. And people like, I hate to say it, Steve Quayle, Stan Deo, Dr. Bill Deagle, they're holding to this model, and all they're doing is protecting things like Mormonism, who believe that God has his own planet on Lobo, and the universe is constructed, like they say, or the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're actually protecting those religions because they will not come to terms that they have been wrong and duped into this 500-year-old Capricornian, basically Catholic, Jesuit model, and they're maintaining it. But Jeff, you need to wake up, click some buttons, baby. You need to catch up. You're a smart guy. Once you realize that the Earth is flat, everything changes. I mean, everything, literally everything in your whole life, how you think changes. Am I still on the air, Robert?
Of course you are. I don't cut people off for talking flat Earth, because I'm one of the guys like you that digs into it. I've got Edward Hendry's latest book, and I've got the folks that you've named. I've looked closely into it, and a lot of Catholic traditionalist Catholic researchers are flat earthers as well. The people that reject, let's just say, some of the priestly orders, such as the Jesuits and so forth, and their skullduggery into science, and, you know, the Mount Graham stuff with Tom Horn, and it's interesting. And look, I right now, I'll just say this: I am a person that looks into these things and geocentricity and geostationary principles, and, you know, like the scriptures say, and so forth and so on. It's interesting, but look, I'll let people talk on either side of it, and I'm not gonna cut them off.
Yeah, well, just to leave you with this, Robert, we are hurting NASA so bad, and we're ripping them apart so bad. They're the main, ones who are proponents of this 1,000 miles an hour. Can you imagine? You're spinning faster than the speed of sound. It's ridiculous. Once you actually start to break apart the model that they got us to believe. But we're ripping them apart so bad that NASA, every day they're coming up with a new story. We found 100 planets we can live on. We found Planet X. Now they're saying we think there's alien life. I mean, the flat earthers are actually at the gates. And in fact, we're inside the walls of the kingdom of NASA. busting down our
well,
gates.
Listen to this. Daily Mail. Hacker Collective Anonymous releases video claiming that NASA is on the verge of announcing alien life. Claims NASA is on the verge of announcing contact with aliens from outer space. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Blah, blah, blah. So, you know, they're bleeding bad,
boy. We're getting them good. They got no place to go. Once you start researching Flat Earth, you realize, my God, everything from just everything you break apart and you realize, you know, it's ridiculous. You could take a little piece of glass and from 93,000 miles away, capture the sun and create fire. I mean,
listen to this. There's a break, but hold through the break because I want to address this with you. There's two principles working here, but let's talk about it on the other side. So I must mean that our debt is flying. And when oh, will we ever see hope again? Is it so hard to say goodbye? Oh, well, at least I can still remember when our city used to be such a beautiful place. But now you can't walk down the street and things don't seem the same. My hands are in the air, it makes no sense to me. And I cannot explain this tragedy. First trip to the city, I remember thinking that the buildings were so tall. And when I see them miles off and grounds of Church City Rabbit, they seem not rather small. So why must we let our chances fly? And when will we ever see hope again? And why is it so hard to say goodbye? Oh well, at least I can still remember when our city used to be such a...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Little bit into the next hour. I don't know yet. We'll see what Ken's feeling like. It's his last night. All right, well, Ken's cool with it. So we're talking to Timothy in Washington, and he's going in on the flat earth. And like Eddie Bravo and Joe Rogan get into these fights, and Neil deGrasse Tyson, and a lot of people have been talking about this. It's one of the biggest, let's say, subjects out here on the YouTube and on basically a lot of deep talk radio and websites and so forth. Let's talk about two things here. The shape of the earth, and let's talk about geocentricity and the earth being stationary and basically being here at the center of the universe. Now, the ancients, a lot of ancient cultures believe this, that the earth is at the center of the universe and basically the universe is moving around us. You can be somebody that believes in basically the earth being geostationary, it not moving and so forth, without necessarily believing that the earth has to be completely flat or what have you. And so there's a lot of wiggle room in here. And then some of these NASA types and so forth, they're talking about a pear shape and all kinds of things now. So there's a lot of arguments going on back and forth. Now, the scriptures basically are very clear that the earth is not moving. You walk into these, your grade school when you're a kid, man, what's the first thing in the corner back in those of us that are older? It's a round globe. And so this, you know, this thing that we're dealing with right now with the shape of the Earth and then whether the Earth's moving or not, I find it fascinating, and I will not censor anybody on this program. And you can ridicule me or you can ridicule A, B, C, and D, but you know what? I've done a lot of digging into it, and I've got you know, Edward Hendrys probably wrote the best 9/11 book out here, 9/11 Enemies Foreign and Domestic. And he also wrote his latest book, basically The Greatest Lie Ever Told, I think, is what it's called. I bought it from Tex Mars. And Tex Mars necessarily isn't a flat earther, but he respects Edward Hendry enough to sell his book. And that's the way I kind of feel about it. I'm like, the deception in our society has been so great in so many areas that, you know what, I'm not going to ridicule Eric Dubé or Eddie Bravo or anybody else because they lean this way. But I'm not going to ridicule somebody on the other side either. I'm this guy that, you know, I don't like getting into fights out, you know, with people and, you know, and people that know me know this. I'm not somebody that wants to be involved in fights between radio hosts, networks, and the rest of it. I don't have time for it in my life. And so I try to remain kind of aloof from all that side of the house. I don't want to do it. And this issue is a perfect kind of parallel for me, is looking at the shape of the Earth and whether the Earth is stationary or not. I find it fascinating, and I'm constantly researching it. And I'll just choose to be like, look, I like people arguing it because, you know, I do believe in the great creator of the universe, and he'll create things the way he wants to do it, and it might blow your mind. Back to you, Timothy in Washington.
Oh, absolutely. Once you do come to the realization, and I'm like 100, well, I'm 1,500%. I mean, I'm sure that the Earth is flat and stable. But just living, realizing when you walk outside, you're actually under, you know, it's even more insane than being a flat Earth. There's actually a dome over it. We actually live in a snow globe. But anyways, once you walk outside and you realize that God created this place special, and this is a very special place he created to basically finish the war in heaven. He even got a galactic rift where he looked like he ripped open the stars and he cast the fallen ones down. And for whatever reason, he's letting this whole war that was started in heaven finish out here using free will and carnal desires and just as complicated as can be. But anyways, everything becomes incredibly different. And I can't tell you how many atheists, without the help of a street preacher or a Christian, have actually come to first the Creator, and then the Creator's led them to his only begotten Son. I mean, thousands and thousands of people that were atheists, once they realized that the true shape of the Earth, have been snapped out of that mind pattern. But, I just want to leave you with this. You and Ken really ought to do a deal. And one researcher, and Ken and you, you got a turnkey show, Robert. You got all the talent. You got the knowledge. You got the temperament. You got it all. You got the whole package. All you need is somebody like Ken that can plug you in, and then somebody that can research and sort of run the business side. And you get the sponsors, get yourself a club going. You know, everybody throws in $10 a month, and you're good to go. I don't know what you do in real life. In fact, I think your audience would like to know. Before I let you go, I got to know. Don't tell me your job, but just tell me kind of, like, are you an insurance salesman? I mean, what do you do, Robert, in real life?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot here, but let's just say, man,
okay. Go ahead.
The environment's too toxic out here to be, there's too many people out here, too many insidious individuals that, that look to target people. And I just don't want to be, you know, involved in that. This is what I do just because this show is an outlet for me, and I'm a talk radio junkie just like everybody that listens, and I'm just one of you guys, and I'm just doing a show, and that's about
it. It's duty and honor, so you got to give back, and this is your way of giving back. No, I fully understand, but great show, Robert, always, and so Take care, and maybe I'll get a hold of you next week or something. And
all right,
God bless.
Yeah, God bless you too, man. All right, let's take Dave in Southern California. Greetings.
Yeah, it's just really brief. I really don't know much about the subject. I'm in this band. I play drums, and they really liked my ability to add to their band. They said, we'll even call it my first and last name, David, and my last name, David Whatchamacallit's Flat Earth Band. And I said, no, because I don't believe it, but I didn't study, so I'm not saying this guy, I don't spend much time, but they believe in like 95% of the things, you know, I believe in, like they see through what Alex says, the left-right paradigm and all that stuff. And so the point is, but I talked to Dr. Bill the other day in Deagle, and so I said, will you please, because he feels like he can put a mental headlock on the people that believe in the flat earth theory. No offense to the last guy. He sounds like a great guy.
I mean, look, there's smart people. There's PhDs on both sides of this thing.
Gotcha. Just like the warming thing, even though I'm
not, exactly. I'm, climate change is a similar parallel.
If Bill has the time, he's going to make a, because he doesn't have to want to talk one person at a time. We don't know what show it is on RBN, so he's going to, supposedly if he gets time, you know, to get make a YouTube or something, he's going to make something like that.
Well, I would suggest he should. I would suggest he gets on some of the heavier hitters on the other side, and really to just have a friendly kind of back and forth. A guy like Dubé, or I would say Edward Hendry, who's an attorney, actually State Department level dude. Edward Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. This guy's the author of many books, and his latest one, as far as I'm concerned, he basically jumped in and he looked into it, and he kind of leans toward, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he leans towards the stationary earth type paradigm. And which was, look, the stationary earth paradigm is old as mankind. And so you got to realize that, you know, scientific opinion over time changes, and then people get involved with agendas and so forth. I like looking at it, and I'm not going to ridicule anybody over it, but hey, I'll tell you, it's an interesting topic, and watch some YouTube videos of various people. And I mean, it's fascinating to listen to both people argue it, because that's like, people are like, this one smashes the flat earthers argument, and then other ones like, this one smashes the ball earthers. You know, it's fun to just watch it.
Yeah, I'd like to see some people, like you said. Oh, by the way, I wasn't even thinking of this tonight, but in the past, I'd like to see, like, David Duke it out maybe on your show or someone's show with Eric Von Phelps. Who's running the, you know, and I like what you and John say a lot, and I mean John Stadtmiller, kind of similar, that even the Jesuits are, you know, infiltrated with the Zionists and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, well, hey, have you listened to the Michael Collins Piper, Eric John Phelps debate?
No.
Oh, that's on YouTube. Watch it. That's pretty good.
So that would be on the similar subject I'm talking about between the
Well, Phelps, Eric John Phelps from Vatican Assassins, of course, believes that basically the Jesuit order and then the larger shell of the Vatican is the true power structure, and they actually control organized Jewry, and they control the Rothschilds and so forth. Whereas the Michael Collins Piper kind of side of the house, or, you know, Duke and some of them. And I'm not going to put words in Dr. Duke's mouth, but basically the Jewish power brokers actually have enveloped and infiltrated into the Vatican, are actually controlling the agenda. And if you look at where the Vatican was and where it is now, there's a lot more empirical evidence that says, well, that is a lot more plausible, because the Vatican changed from point A to where now they're at point B, and they've basically gutted their entire theology to where the rabbis and the Talmudic, you know, Orthodox rabbis, they haven't moved an inch. And so, you know, you got to kind of look at it and be like, you just kind of got to be logical about it and be like, look, which religion has relinquished its principles on a large scale, and which one hasn't? and you'll see that.
I sort of think Eric Phelps, even though he has immense information on that whole Vatican side of things, it's just like I feel it's more like probably where Piper is at or Duke is at. But, I mean, it's a combination, too. And then there's other factors, right? I mean, there's probably Islam, people that want to take over the world. There's an Anglo Protestant thing like Renee calls in, but she might not want to look at the Zionist thing as much. It's not just
well,
one
here's my thing, too. Here's my thing, too. Humans, no matter where they're at on the ethnic spectrum, they all have proclivities to do, like, bad things, no matter what we are. And so you got to take all that into the equation as well.
Sure.
You know, and so, but.
And even
look,
if you're and you're less in number, if you're good and you're worried about other people wiping your race out or this or that, you start to think, like, how can we circumvent that, you know? Even
well,
if you're
well
good.
Look, and look, I don't have an axe to grind. I never did really with other people like that don't look like me. But
Me either.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you look at, and I know the history of colonialism and so forth, and there's two sides to look at colonialism, like with European powers, and you could say, oh, my God, they plundered these poor people's resources. Yeah, but they also gave them running water and education and clothing and other things. You know what I'm saying? But there's two ways to look at colonialism. But at the same time, when you look now, right now, at percentages of who's populating the earth, European stock and their traditional homelands now are under complete demographic assault. And anybody that and so anybody that doesn't want to look at that logically, take your emotions out of it. Yeah, exactly. It's a genocidal kind of plan right now. Now, is there another plan that we don't know about that's 10 steps down the road to where there's going to be some bloodbath and, you know, the secretly the genocide's really not planned for the European stock? I can't answer that, but I can answer for what's right here in my face. And it says, hey, look at England, look at France, look at Sweden, look at Germany. These countries are on the border of completely being wiped out of their original ethnic people that inhabited those lands.
And look at the about the colonialism. What about the black colonialism with the Moors? They weren't just all like tan looking. They were very black in Morocco. And when the Muslim Moors started taking over Italy, people in Italy and Spain and France had to move inside the country because so many people were taken as slaves, the women and the men and children and stuff, over to Morocco and the Middle East.
Well, Spain was Islamic for quite a few years. Let's just put it that way. And so,
but also, I'm talking about the black slave trade, not just the ones lending it out to the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the Arabic slave trade of blacks, too, was very brutal.
That, too, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Louis Farrakhan and the black Muslim groups and even the left in the United States, they don't want to say one word about Arabic Islamic slave trading. They just want to blame whitey all day long. The white male is the curse of the planet, and they need to be eradicated. This Medusa magazine, which maybe is fake, but they're basically telling white women to abort their babies to fight white supremacy. I mean, we've gone into full-blown mental illness. The people of the white people of South Africa are in danger of full-blown genocide. And you know, look, South Africa is going to devolve into Zimbabwe if they kill off the white people. But I don't even think they care. I think
look at what Reverend Tutu said about the leader and the ANC, which is the African National Congress, the power in place now. He said they are worse than the apartheid. That's a quote from him. You can find it. Because he says, at least you knew what you were getting there. And he was behind that whole change, and he thought it was going to be a little, and it's just getting so bad. He didn't mention the genocide, but maybe he was partly referring to that when he said that statement. He was referring to general corruption and lack of morality within that group.
Yeah, I think that might have been the head of the Zulus that said that. That basically is like, look, it was better under apartheid for the South African people, black people in South Africa, than what we've got now. Because you got to realize,
Tutu said that too.
I'm not aware of Tutu saying it, but at the same time, you have to realize South Africa, it produced this pretty prosperous nation to where they had an immigration problem just like we do of their surrounding nations, because the surrounding nations had basically such bad leaders and so many bad things going on. They all wanted to immigrate to South Africa, which caused a massive problem as well. And nobody wants to talk about that either, that a lot of the blacks that are in South Africa today were not indigenous to that area. They were just basically illegal immigrants and legal immigrants coming from the surrounding nations because they wanted to get some of that prosperity as well.
That's what I heard, too.
Yeah.
There was basically a white nation, but I don't have all the information on that. I just heard that.
Yeah, there's documentaries around about basically the Dutch Boers basically just cutting out that land. It's not like they genocided the inhabitants down there. There was nobody really down there. I'm sure you can read some sort of countervailing opinions from somebody on the Marxist side of the house that's going to tell you they killed everybody and slit their throats and all the rest of it.
Evil Whitey.
So, you know.
Hey, how about Weinstein? I mean, I like the guy. I know he's a super liberal up there in Washington, up at Evergreen, huh? I mean, they're crucifying this guy who's a liberal progressive, a Jewish professor who seems like a nice guy, and they're trying to make him out to be the biggest racist in the world, and this is ridiculous.
Look, even some Jewish people like Gilad Otzman or Michael Savage and this guy, they're finally getting to the point where they're looking at it, and they're like, wait a second, I can't go along with this kill Whitey thing. Because pretty soon, some of them are realizing that it's like the people that are part of the kill Whitey side of the house, they're not smart enough to differentiate between Whitey and a white-looking Jewish guy. So they're like, you know what? They're going to slit my throat one of these days because I don't look like them.
Anyway. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm like,
yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, the Jewish far left that is anti-white. I mean, they've got a suicidal psychological profile going on within them, because once they run out of blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, who do you think they're going to come for next? It's going to be you guys. And so
Zelman and JPFO, which is Jews for Preservation of Foreign Ownership, they have a thing about Jewish people being psychologically having this sabotage kind of thing against themselves. That's why they're against self-defense, I mean, not in Israel, but here, crazy.
Well, did you hear this? In parts of Europe now, the governments are thinking about relaxing gun ownership for Jews and Jews only. And people are like, wait a minute. Because, see, Jews are under such assault because they opened the gates to let all these Muslims in. So now Jews need to get their firearms rights back. But the regular old white dude in Europe, you don't need your guns. But we might relax them a little bit for some of the Jewish population because they're under such assault from the very people that they let into all these countries.
I wonder if any Jewish good people in Sweden or anywhere else in Europe or the United States have confronted Barbara Spector yet. From what she said, I know that.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll let you go if you got to move on or whatever.
Yeah, I got a couple other callers.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Robert.
All right, see you. Let's take Ed in Utah. We got Ed?
No, I'm not Ed.
Oh, we've got Wes in Idaho. What's up, Wes? Oh, sorry, we got Ed.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, am I on?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Robert, I want to go back to a couple calls there, and then to your Catholic comment. You know, it's logical that the Catholics were infiltrated by the communists in the late 50s and 60s, with Vatican II. After the great protector, Adolf Hitler, was brought down. Think about that. Think of the logic of it. It makes a lot of sense. But unless you don't want to respond to that, that's okay.
I'll respond to that. A lot of the guys in the Third Reich and the Zentrum Party in Germany were hardcore Catholics, and I get what you're saying. And this,
yeah,
that is a worthwhile angle to say once the Third Reich went down, and then a lot of those, and then you can get into some of them going to Argentina, another very Catholic country. Rome. Rome, the guys, they're not dumb, and they had to change tactics after, Franco, Hitler, Mussolini went down. And we could argue about what happened there, but yeah, they Catholic Church did go belly up and had to swing left. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah, and look what it's done to our world. But also your other comment there on the flat Earth.
Yeah.
That was a very amazing call. And yes, we should be open-minded to it. I'll tell you why. I essentially won a debate on radio with Richard Hoagland. Yes, Richard Hoagland, CBS. He was there pushing the moon landing. Now, you're talking to someone, years ago, I'm convinced we have not been to the moon. I would argue with anybody, and I essentially won that debate. I have a lot of radio witnesses that back me on that fact. Here's essentially it, though. One of the proofs we used was why, when they were up there, if they were, they didn't take a picture of the Earth. And now this Dubé fella and others that are saying that we have a flat Earth, that's one of their arguments. It never dawned on me at the time, 20 years ago, Robert, that this was an argument that eventual flat earthers were going to be using. But it is a fact. And one of the main purveyors that convinced me was a fella that you might know through Vote Scam, the Collier brothers, James Collier, who put out the book Vote Scam, the late James Collier, him and his brother, foremost experts on Vote Scam. They were hesitant to put their movie on the moon landing being a fake, called Is It Only a Paper Moon? But they debated different folks on the Art Bell Show, and I would say won that debate, as slanted as that debate structure was against them. But so when you look at some of the arguments about the fact that we were not on the moon, it's not even, when you look at the logic, like that fellow was trying to tell you about the flat Earth, and I'm not arguing for the flat Earth at this point, I'm just saying that when you look at the whole structure of the arguments about the moonwalk, it is absolutely impossible we were there. Impossible.
Let me say this. The two concepts, the moon landing and geocentricity and the shape of the Earth, they are interconnected, but they are separate at the same time. Like a guy like Dr. Fetzer, who I've interviewed numerous times on the program, he believes the moon landing was fake, but actually he doesn't believe the flat Earth, geocentricity, and the rest of it. But they are connected. It's interesting, the whole thing with Kubrick and the flat, with the moon landing, and Don Rumsfeld and Larry Eagleburger. It goes way back, and I've researched that side of the house too. It's fascinating. And look, with the technology that we had at that time, I don't believe that we went at that time either. Now there's new people that are saying this. They're saying, oh, they put out the bogus footage because they didn't want to give up the secrets of the real deep space technology that we used to get there and back. So they put out the cheesy studio produced Kubrick version for public consumption. See, so now there's this other layer that they put over it, that this is the secret space program. So they didn't want to give up any of the secrets. So this is why they put out the bogus moon landing footage, A, B, C, and D. And so that's another kind of layer on the whole thing. Go ahead.
Well, you see, Robert, how they layer the fraud. It's still a fraud, and they are not to be trusted, because NASA was all about the mind control experiments. And that's one of the ways I defeated Richard Hoagland, who got up there. He went silent. It struck the host so much on K-Talk that the next day they asked callers who talked to him the previous night on a different host not to call in so as to give other callers a chance.